Order.
A week may be a long time in politics, but it's only 3 days in Parliament, where words speak louder than actions, but the final word is a number, 61. That's the number of votes required for a majority in this Parliament, elected last September, with 121 seats, the total currently down by one until the vacancy in the Northland seat, created by the resignation of National's Mike Sabin, is filled by the winner of a by-election late in March. So barely a week, but just 2 sitting days after winning the confidence vote that ended the debate on the Prime Minister's statement by 63 votes to 57, John Key's National-led government declined the opposition's challenge when Parliament resumed at 2 on Tuesday to test support in the chamber for the Cabinet's decision to send nearly 150 military personnel to train Iraqi soldiers for the war against Islamic State. That decision was announced by Mr. Key in a ministerial statement, which triggered a round of speeches from party leaders and defence spokesmen, including Labour's Phil Goff.
This decision is being made in the House today without a vote. Without a vote, because there is no majority in this House to support the deployment of troops to Iraq.
Mr. Goff went further, hinting at dissension in National's caucus.
In fact, if there was a conscience vote on the National side, there would be a minority in this House in favour of deployment, because that decision in the National caucus was not a unanimous one.
Phil Goff's speculation that the troop deployment had only minority support in the chamber could not be tested after the government blocked 2 opposition calls for a vote. But it was soon apparent that the parties bound to vote with National on confidence and supply were not prepared to give the government the 2 extra votes needed for a bare majority of 61 on Tuesday. The Māori Party's co-leader, Tu Uaroa Flavel, was not about to cast his party's 2 votes behind the deployment.
Sir, Aotearoa has much to contribute to eliminating the threat of ISIS, but it is not by sending troops, sending our military personnel into Te Mura o Te Ahi.
The battlefront. United Futures' Peter Dunn said New Zealand should first be seeking international support.
We should be using our role on the Security Council to first of all insist that any action that takes place against ISIL is UN mandated, and this is not.
And even National's staunchest ally, the ACT Party's David Seymour, had doubts.
I have considerable scepticism about what intervention in such a theatre can achieve.
Across the chamber, New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters was clear about his party's position.
My party would have preferred from New Zealand First that Parliament gave them a mandate, so putting their lives at risk for our country and for the sake of peace came with the support of all the New Zealand people, not just an arrogant government making a minority decision.
A decision scorned by Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
We're going to supposedly defend democracy in the Middle East, but the National Party government has just now prevented Parliament from voting on whether New Zealand should go to war. Democracy, it seems, is a military export and is not for domestic consumption.
And leading the opposition's response to the Prime Minister's call to arms, Labour leader Andrew Little said there were better ways of helping war-torn countries like Iraq.
Rebuild their economies, rebuild their communities, and give themselves the confidence and the means to repel the evil that is represented by Islamic State. We've turned our back on that option. We are opposed to sending troops to Iraq.
To which Prime Minister John Key had this response.
Mr. Speaker, I will not stand by while Jordanian pilots are burnt to death, when kids execute soldiers, when people are out there being beheaded. I'm sorry, but this is the time to stand up and be counted. Get some guts and join the right side.
John Key's call for the opposition to get some guts ricocheted around the chamber, winding up in this complaint to the Speaker from Mr. Little.
Prime Minister, in the heat of his presentation yesterday, got away with alleging or implying that members of the opposition didn't have guts or didn't have courage. But to say it explicitly is against standing orders, and I invite you, Mr. Speaker, to call him to account.
Order.
The Speaker was not convinced.
The comments made yesterday were certainly robust. I don't think they were out of order.
The Speaker, David Carter. Parliament's adjourned for a week, back on Tuesday, March the 10th. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.